Rob asked me if I would go down to Burnt Cabin and if I would speak at his week of camp. It was going to be his last night, and he wanted me to come and speak at that night. And I agreed on one condition, of course. You know, if he's getting something out of me, I've got to get something out of him. And so what I tell him is, hey, you know what? I'll do it, but you have to do something for me. And he goes, okay, well, what's that? And I said, you have to come and speak at my week at camp. You know, if I have to go to your week, you have to come to my week. And he agrees to those terms, and everything's good. The agreement's made. But here's the deal that you need to understand. I am horrible at directions. Standing right here before you, I cannot tell you which way's north, which way's south, which way's east, which way's west. And here's the worst part about this. My wife's in the same boat. And it makes for some very interesting trips sometimes. Well, which way's north? I don't know. You're supposed to know, you know. So the day comes, and we're heading to Burnt Cabin's week to speak. Now, I've been to Burnt Cabin, I don't know, probably four or five times, maybe more. But I have never led. I have always followed. Someone else is always leading. But that's okay, because I have one of these in my car. I have a GPS system, so I'm good. Right? I'm good. So Sarah, Naomi, JP, Drew, Lori, and myself, we all pile in a vehicle, and we start our trek to Burnt Cabin. Now, I want you to understand, when you're speaking at a camp session, actually, when you're speaking anywhere for that matter, you want to be early. The last thing you want to do is show up late. And I hate being late. You can ask my wife. I cannot stand it. So we leave in plenty of time, and we're making such good time that we stop at the very nice, fashionable McDonald's, sit down and have a meal, and everything's going great. The journey is going great. We're enjoying our time together. And then something happens. The GPS tells me to turn right. And I do as it says, right? That's what we do. The GPS says turn left, you turn left. GPS says turn right, you turn right. And we start driving down this paved road. It's a nice road, nice little country road. And a few miles, it turns to gravel. And a few more miles after that, it turns to dirt. And at first, I was thinking, something does not seem right. But I proceeded on. I didn't remember dirt roads from the last few times I went there. And we drive, and the conditions of the road become worse. We are to the point that we are now in a wooded area. Civilization has left. There's no shoulder on the road, just tons of trees and brush. And you would think by this point that you would ask for directions. But let's face it, I'm a man. A man doesn't do that. And even if I wanted to, I don't think a deer or a skunk or a squirrel could help me out. Because remember, I told you, civilization has left. It's gone. And as we're driving along, the road continues to get worse. Now, I loved Drew to death, and I love some of his comments he makes, and I really wished he was here this morning, because he was the best one. We're driving along, and Drew's kind of looking around. He's looking at everything happening. And he makes this comment. He goes, is this GPS taking us on the 4x4 route? Is that an option in this thing? Does it think that we have four-wheel drive? And reality has set in. And we begin to realize, can we really trust this thing? So Drew thinks fast. He pulls out his iPhone to get a second opinion, because we want a second opinion. And he pulls up Google Maps. And his response is, yeah, we can get there. We're going this way. Now, granted, we probably shouldn't have kept going, but we did. And as we're moving forward and driving forward, I noticed the time on the GPS system. You know, it tells you when you're going to get there. It says that I'm going to be there with 15 minutes to spare. And I'm feeling good, even though I don't know this road and I'm starting to wonder. I'm feeling good. And we proceed up ahead. But we see something up ahead, and we have to stop. And as men do, Drew and myself, we get out of the van to inspect the situation, and we have a problem. Here is the problem. There is a creek in the middle of the road. There's a creek, and on the other side, the road continues. There's no bridge. There's no way to get across, just a creek. Now understand, it took us 20 minutes to get to this point. So if you do the math, I'm now going to be late. And even though this is hard for me to swallow, I realize that we have to turn around and go back the direction we came from. And as we're driving back the opposite direction, the voice from the GPS system says, when possible, make a U-turn. And I yell at Michelle, yes, my GPS system has a name. I say, I can't, Michelle, there's a creek in the middle of the road. Get that through your technological head. So long story short, we get to Burnt Cabin. I was 20 minutes late. I'm pretty sure they had to sing Our God is Alive. You know what I'm talking about, 728B? And they sang the chorus probably 30 times. But I want you to understand, I still like my GPS system. It is very rare that it gets me lost. And I feel confident with it. But it makes me wonder, when it comes to direction, who do you and I trust? It's easy sometimes to trust this, isn't it? We get used to it. And today I want to ask you, do you have a GPS? What I mean by this is your life under the guidance and direction of God? Are you just doing your own thing, wandering around, floating from one item to another on your to-do list? Or are you focused? Do you have direction in your life coming from God? Do you feel like you're just flailing away, trying to keep your head above the waters of financial strain, emotion, fatigue, and spiritual apathy? Or do you have a clear and confident road to travel by the side of the one who knows you best and loves you fully? You know, I'd like for you to consider those things as I speak a few simple truths that come to mind as we think about global positioning systems and God's positioning system for our lives. You know, the first thing I want you to understand is the key to the journey is to know the final destination. You have to know where you're going. You know, whether you and I are talking about worship or living a life or going to our job, this statement is true. The key to the journey is to know the final destination. You can't go someplace. You can't get to someplace you're not going. You know, there is no way, and yes, I had to pull up a map with a compass to make sure I understood this. There is no way to get to California from here without heading west, okay? You have to. Oh, you might say that you could start east and then travel north, but eventually you will have to go west to head to California. Yes, there's lots of ways to California, and if you start from where you are, and I believe we're all in Tulsa, Oklahoma, without traveling west, you will never get there. You know, similarly, I suppose that most of us, it may have a detour for lunch, but most of us are going to be heading home today, sometime after worship. But you would never get there unless you absolutely know where home was. Without a destination in mind, we are condemned to an endless odyssey of confusion. We get confused. We have no idea where we're going. And the simple point of this is the key to my journey was knowing the final destination. Because I had the right destination punched into my GPS, I ended up where I wanted to be and needed to be. Whoa, wait a minute. No, I didn't. Right? I didn't that night going to Burnt Cabin. I did not end, well, I did eventually, but I had a little detour, didn't I? But here's the deal. This can get us lost. This can lead us the wrong direction. But Jesus knew the key to life's journey was choosing the right destination. You know, the consistency of the New Testament scholars, they agree that John 14 is a culmination of John's Gospels. In his farewell disclosure, Jesus addresses the anxiety that the disciples are going through because they're worried about the future. You know, the key to the future is grounded in Jesus' identity. Jesus isn't addressing their fears with pastoral care, but with theological boldness. He's addressing their fears. He has told them about his impending death. They know what's coming. They know what's going to happen. And naturally, they've expressed their fears. In response, he didn't say, "It's going to be all right." He didn't say, "I'm going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Don't worry. Be happy." He isn't sugarcoating it at all. Instead, he confirms that he is going away. But then he tells them they will be able to join him. He will return for them at a certain absence. Listen to this, John chapter 14, verse 6. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Do you get the destination? Do you understand that the Father is the destination? He's the one that can get you where you need to be going. Jesus is the way to the destination to the Father. Jesus is saying, if you punch the Father into your GPS device, you'll get to where I'm going because I'm going to the Father. That's what he's saying. And then Jesus makes a bold statement. He spills the beans. Perhaps it's not the first time, but it's less guarded and more revealing to the point. They're starting to understand. He says in verse 11, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." He is identifying with the Father. He is declaring a statement that the Christian community would eventually understand, but it took some time. You know, Thomas and Philip and the others didn't fully understand this extraordinary proclamation. But the Christian community would come to see Jesus as co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. Jesus was claiming divinity. He was claiming to be one with the Father. And therefore, to get to the Father, you and I have to understand that we simply have to stick with Jesus. He would take you there because he was there. The Father was the destination. Jesus was not only the way, he was also the destination. Son and Father were linked. Here's the point. The key to your journey in life, and we all, I think, can agree that life is a journey. You and I are on a journey. The key to your journey in life is having the right destination. Jesus is telling us the key to the journey is believing in him and the Father. If you believe in one, you'll believe in the other, I find this amazing that 80 times in John's Gospel, we are told we must believe. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life." John 3:16. "He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already." John 3:18. "He who believes in the Son has eternal life." John 3:36. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." John 11:25-26. I know it sounds simple, and in some ways, it's as simple as punching it in your GPS system so you can get there without undue stress. The key to the journey is putting in the right destination. You know, they say that a journey of a million miles begins with one step. And that's right. But you have to assume that you're taking that step in the right direction. If you step south and the direction is north, then suddenly your journey has become 1,000 miles plus one step. See, just because you're on a journey doesn't mean you're heading in the right direction. You could be going the wrong way. And you know, sadly, we are living in a culture that believes anything. It's a postmodern world where all journeys are equal, none better than the other. And even more sadly, churches, having lost confidence in the gospel, they've buckled under the pressure of everything that's going on, and we're offering big smiles, popular entertainment to keep people coming and giving and happy. You know, I heard once that when people turn from God, they don't believe in nothing, they believe in anything. When people turn from God, they don't believe in nothing, they believe in anything. And today, we have all sorts of spiritual opinions filling the void that we have to compete with. And what happens is, people have become confused and lost in their faiths. And they found themselves going around in circles, staying busy and busy, going somewhere, but nowhere for certain. They have no clue. And I want to offer this to you. Make God the Father your destination. Believe in Jesus and follow Him. Punch in Heavenly Father as your final destination, and then stick to the directions that the GPS is speaking to you. Listen and learn from the Holy Spirit, living in the Spirit of Christ and following Him to the Father. Don't get sidetracked. Don't listen to other voices. Don't trust your instincts, because your instincts are flawed. Your intuition is marred. Only God's positioning system is a trustworthy map for you and I in our journey of life. Get the destination right, and you'll arrive at the right place. Now, here's the second lesson I want to share that necessarily follows. And I love this feature on my GPS, too. Recalculation is inevitable in any journey. You know, one of the nice features of my GPS system is recalculation feature. Whenever you make a wrong turn, Michelle speaks to you. Yes, my GPS, like I said a while ago, has a voice. It comes from Michelle. I didn't give her that name. That's the name she already was. And Michelle, for the most part, is very pleasant. The thing I like about Michelle is when I make a wrong turn, she doesn't say, "Hey, why did you do that?" or "Didn't you hear me? I said right, not left. Now you're going to be late." No, whenever I made a mistake in my journey, Michelle wouldn't say anything except recalculating. You could always get back on track. The GPS would recalculate from any position. And here's the deal. Jesus was constantly recalculating with his disciples. In John chapter 14, verse 5, Thomas is asking, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus recalculates. He redirects Thomas to see that Jesus is the way. And he tells Thomas, "If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." In John chapter 14, verse 7. You know, Jesus isn't nagging. He's not getting on to Thomas. He's redirecting. He's revealing the awesome, mysterious, and radical truth that when Thomas has seen Jesus, he has seen the Father. He's helping Thomas see that the way and destination are connected. Jesus is the way. The Father is the destination. And yet Jesus and the Father are one. Similarly, we see another example where Jesus recalculates for Philip. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for me." Jesus responded to Philip, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." John chapter 14, verse 9. Philip wasn't rebuked for a dumb question. He wasn't chastised because he didn't get what it would take the Christian community centuries to articulate. His destination toward the Father was recalculated to see that Jesus was the way Jesus and the Father were one. And if you choose the way, meaning you choose Jesus, you will reach the destination. You know, in a sense, the theological GPS is like a technological GPS. It's inevitable that we're going to mess up. You and I are going to fall. We're going to stumble along the way to our destination of a life with God. And we mess up, you and I mess up basically in two different ways. First is we mess up accidentally. We make a wrong turn because we're confused. The road signs don't match up with what the GPS is saying. Or sometimes when I'm on a three-lane highway and I need to get all the way over to the left and I think, oh, I have plenty of time to do it, and I don't do it, I miss my turn. It was an accident. The second way, though, is we get lost deliberately. You and I sometimes don't listen to God and we chart out our own course for our life. We make the decision. We listen and we still go another direction because we believe, for some reason, we believe we can do better. We choose wrong, things even though he's trying to warn us of what's going to happen. Those are primarily the ways that you and I get lost. We wander away without really thinking about it. Or we move away in rebellion of God, because we don't want to believe. In either case, I want you to understand, even if you're off track, if you're lost, if you're searching, God is constantly watching over us. If you think, it's amazing how 24 satellites can allow this device to hone in on our position on Earth. 24 satellites. It takes one God to know where our position is. He can spot anything on earth. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows where we're at. He knows not only where you're at, but what's on your mind. He knows not only your position on earth, but your relationship to his son. He knows not only where you've been, but where you're going. How awesome and amazing is God's positional system that leads not only from temptation, but delivers us from evil. Right destination, necessary recalculation. There's one more truth I want to share with you regarding the GPS. Following the GPS leads to peace. Notice what Jesus said at the beginning of what we call the farewell discourse. In John chapter 4, verse 1, he addressed the anxieties of Peter and the disciples by saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." It wasn't a sin their hearts were troubled. In fact, the term for troubled used in John's gospel is one Jesus has already used to describe himself three times previously. It referred to his foreboding feelings in the face of his impending death and the power of evil he was about to face. Actually, in John chapter 12, verse 27, he confesses and he says, "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." See, Jesus recognizes there are times when you and I, our hearts will be troubled. He was human, and he experienced a troubled heart, just like you and I. But his recourse was to turn to his heavenly Father and trust. He willed to trust his Father to face evil. And that gave him the peace that he needed in his journey. And here Jesus tells his disciples not to be troubled, and instead, trust in God, trust also in me. Once again, we see a prime example of him linking himself to the Father, connecting the divine Father with the divine Son. Trusting in God and trusting Jesus are the same thing. Just like choosing the right destination, God the Father, and following the way, Jesus the Son, were the same thing. You've heard it said, haven't you? The journey is the destination. This is more profoundly true than we have ever realized. The journey, the way of Jesus, is the destination, life with the Father. Following Jesus is the destination, even while it leads to the destination. You know, being in a relationship with God, you and I having communion with God, walking the holy pathway towards sanctification. But regardless of what language we use, the result of this journey is peace, and peace which passes all understanding. It is peace which comes from trusting the words and the way of Jesus. Now, here's my point. I know it's a stretch, but stretch with me for a moment. Once we achieve life the way God desires it, we all get to go home then. What else can possibly happen that would top this? That sense is even more profoundly true when we are on the journey with Jesus heading toward the Father. What else could possibly top that? It is the goal and destination of abundant eternal life that you and I get with Him. Our strivings can be laid aside because we are the will of God and on the way to Jesus. We will get to our destination because the journey is the destination. The way of Jesus is a place where communion with God takes place. And when we are in communion with God, when you and I are there, there's nowhere else to go. Because we're exactly where we need to be. It just doesn't get any better. And we can live, breathe, move, even die in peace with which transcends understanding. You know, it's not my goal to convince you to go out to Best Buy today and buy a GPS system. But it is my hope and my yearning and my desire that each of you have God's positioning system, that you have God's Holy Spirit filling your heart, directing your steps, and guiding you to all things excellent and eternal. And the cool thing about it is it's available. It doesn't cost $100. It costs the very life of God's Son, but it's offered free to you. Do you have a GPS? You cannot leave home without it. So that's what I want to ask you this morning. What can we do for you this morning? Maybe your GPS is you starting that journey and being baptized. Maybe that's what you have to do to get started. Start that journey. Maybe right now you're in your life and you've messed up. You've taken a wrong turn. And you need a little bit of recalculation. You need us to pray for you to help you on that recalculation. I don't know what it is, but let God lead you. Let God show you the way, the true way. Whatever you need, why don't you come as we stand and as we sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the